welcome to another live edition. And what is it? Viva Las Vegas?
Yeah,
with two DJs
Max,
and one mic.
Entertainment Expo.
Yes. Thank you. We welcome you again for another episode. And we're blessed with the presence of the great Alan Berg.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me. It's long overdue that I'm here with you guys.
Cool, yes. We've been chasing you since Chicago.
Last June. Yeah, that was us.
I thought somebody was following me. I don't know.
Yes, that was us.
Okay.
So we're really thankful to have you on today. You know, someone, you know, that has put in the work that you've put in. And you have single-handedly made our industry better.
Thank you.
And we want to thank you for that. So for those that have ears that have listened, I don't think that they can say anything different.
Yeah. Well, you know what's happening tonight?
What's that?
The MEX Hall of Fame.
Yes.
He's going in.
I am the first non-DJ to be inducted into the Mobile Entertainment Experience Hall of Fame.
Congratulations. Congratulations.
Yes. Thank you.
They're coming to get you.
I thought that's where you were going with this.
They're coming to get you. Yes. Yes. So how did you get into this? When did this start and why?
So I got into this totally by accident. I was in a job that I was making really good money. And I had a company car, I had paid benefits, and I hated it. I hated every day, I only worked a half a day. You know the half a day is 9 a.m. to 9 p.m.?
Oh, wow.
You know, 12 hours, that's a half a day.
Yes.
And
wow.
My wife was pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
My other son was turning 3. I was never home. And I was just, the money didn't make up for that. And I actually said the words when I gave notice. I said, it's not the money. And I meant it. I didn't think people could mean that because, you know, at a young man, you're like, it's always about the money.
It's always about the money.
And my friend bought a wedding magazine. And he said, I want you to come and sell for me, but independent contractor.
Okay.
So no salary, no draw, no minimum, no guarantee, no base. Did I say when my wife was pregnant?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this was a new industry.
Mm-hmm.
And it was cold calling, and I had never done that.
Yeah.
And I did that.
Oh, wow.
So let me give you an idea how long I'm doing this. That baby that was in her belly has a 7-year-old.
Okay. Wow.
So it's been a long time. So I started selling wedding advertising, and then they were franchise magazines, and I bought them from my friends. So my wife and I published 2 wedding magazines.
Oh, wow.
And then after 5 years, the company, the franchisor, wanted me to come work for them. They had markets from Boston to D.C. and said, we want you to run those sales team.
Okay.
So we sold the franchises back, and 4 months later, a new company at the time called The Knot bought the company.
Okay.
So I was at The Knot from April 1st of 2000. Till April 1st of 2011.
Okay.
That's when I untied the knot.
Untied the knot.
Wow. But actually, they had big downsizing. And, you know, it's the proverbial best thing that ever happened to you.
Okay.
Because a couple of things have happened since then.
Okay.
I've written 10 books. I've spoken in 14 countries in 3 languages. So it's been okay.
Did you actually speak the languages?
He presentado en 5 países en español. So I spoke in 5
Spanish.
Countries in Spanish,
okay.
And I did 1 presentation for the Canadian Professional DJ Association in French.
Oh, wow. Mm. Wow. So. Mm. Quick study.
Yes,
well,
quick.
Yes and no. I use Duolingo for French.
Okay.
I started before COVID because I was supposed to go to Paris, and I didn't want to get off the plane and not know any French.
Okay.
And today was 1,141 days in a row I've done at least 1 French lesson.
Oh, wow. That'll teach you the language.
Or, je prends français depuis 13 ans.
Oh, wow.
So, if
you man of many words.
But if you did anything for 1,141 days in a row, wouldn't you be better?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Right,
definitely.
Repetition.
People say I'm good at language. I say, well, maybe. Or maybe I just am more committed to learning.
You put in the work.
Right. And that's it. Whether you're a DJ or a speaker or whatever, you put in the work. I have friends who've been talking about writing books, but they don't write any words.
Wow.
Just talking about
just
it.
Talking
right.
About.
I've written 10. Right? You talk about it. I'm writing another book.
Oh, wow. But before Mike gets into his questions, because he wants to go deep on you, I want to ask you about that thing you said about what you said about the DJ. There's $300 DJs. We're complaining about them, but it was once us. I want to have that on the show as a piece of our show. Can you replay that for me?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So on my presentation today, I talked about the fact that people complain there's always another DJ. There's a new DJ. Every time I turn around, there's a new DJ.
Uh-huh.
And I said, and one day a long time ago, that was you.
Yes, right? Absolutely.
And when
yes.
you started, you were not the $3,000, $5,000, $10,000 DJ.
Some of them still shouldn't be, but
right.
go ahead.
Right. But as long as somebody's paying them, somebody's saying yeah. there's the value, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like we're here in Vegas, and what these guys get paid in these clubs, you know, the cost of a home
oh my God.
To do a night, I don't know, whatever. Yes,
yes.
It's not my money, right?
yeah.
but you see, that's the point.
Yeah.
Somebody who pays a DJ $300 is because that DJ asked and took $300.
Yeah.
Now, that DJ could have asked $500. That DJ could have asked $1,500. Now, maybe the results weren't worth $1,500 because, again, when you were new mm-hmm. and you charged little, your results weren't worth more. Now, maybe more than you were charging, but not what you charge now.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that's the point. When I left the Knot, I didn't know what to charge for speaking because I was speaking for free as part of my job at the Knot.
Okay.
And I didn't know what to charge for consulting because I was giving people advice for free as part of my job. So I looked at what other people charge, and this is important. Look at what other people charge, but don't charge based upon what they charge. Just get an idea what the landscape is, right?
Okay.
Right, like you're going to open up a restaurant. Mm-hmm. You want to know what the other restaurants around you charge. Like, will people pay this? So I looked, and I thought I charged a lot more.
Okay.
Right, because percentage-wise, it was a lot more. Like, it was three times what other people charge.
Okay.
The problem is that it was three times a very low number, right? So now in 2024.
Yeah, mm-hmm. 24.
I get five times that number that was three times their number.
Okay.
So what is that exponentially? 15 times, whatever it is, right?
Okay, yeah, I got it.
Right? Because the next year, I finish the year and I look at the top line, you know, you go into your account, you go into QuickBooks, whatever, you go into the account, you look at that top line, you step back and you give yourself a little, you know.
Yeah.
Dust your shoulders off.
And then you look at the bottom line and go, where'd the money go?
Then you start crying, or right. Uncle Sam is getting the rest of the bottom.
That's it. Well, you know, when you put your hand in the pocket, there's already hands in there.
Yes. yes. I know that one.
Yeah, that's
yes.
Right. right. So you were that cheaper one. I was that cheaper one. And now, just remember this. Anybody who won't pay your price today won't pay a higher price.
Okay.
Anybody that's paying your price today might pay a higher price.
Okay.
So who's your target market? The people that won't pay your number today or the people that are paying your number and people that will pay more? So that's who you look for.
Yeah, I thought that was so good yesterday. man, wow.
I like calling people out for what it is.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh, yes.
You were them. You were the new one. And it's okay. Just do it well. Come to the conference and learn and sit in the conference. Don't sit at home and complain that you can't make any money.
Yeah.
You invest in your business the way you want other people to invest in you.
Absolutely.
That's why we're here.
Remember that. Invest in your business the way you want people to invest in you.
That's right.
All right, Mike, go ahead. He got a whole bunch of questions
for
you.
Well, you know, he just said some things just kind of twisted my thoughts. But I think it is important. How do you feel about those that want others to invest in their business, but they're not investing? They're not delivering on their deliverables, but they want to be delivered.
I'm not sure what you're asking.
Follow. Well, I think what he's saying is people want you to pay them all this money, but they're not doing anything to get better, right. to deliver anything better than right. what they're asking you to pay them
right.
for.
Right. Well, again, you have to call out the hypocrisy. That's what you have to do. You know, I'm going to go to 4 speaker conferences this year. And some people say, well, why are you going to attend conferences, you know, for speakers? And I say, well, because...
Mark the tape right there, right there.
If you think you can't be any better than you are now, you're right. Because you're not going to make any effort to be better. If you think you can be better than you are today...
You'll make the effort.
Right.
You'll
so my philosophy in life, I don't want to ever be the best I can ever be at anything.
Okay.
I do want to be the best I've ever been every time I do it. So I want today's speech to be the best one I've ever given,
uh-huh.
but not the best I can ever give, because otherwise I can't be better. Wedding NBA, I got a great compliment to Wedding NBA. Guy comes up and he starts this way. Don't take this the wrong way.
Okay. that's always, where are we going
I'm
here?
Waiting for it, yeah.
So he goes, I saw you last time, it was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. I thought you were really good. But I thought you were so much better now.
Wow.
I said, I don't take that the wrong way. I take that exactly the way you meant it as a compliment. not to say I was bad before, but you thought I was good before, and now you think I'm better. You just validated my
putting in
purpose.
The work. Oh, my goodness. Wow. Right?
How many speeches have I given since then trying to be better? How many thousands and thousands of dollars have I invested in my speaking education by going to conferences? This year's three in the U.S., one in the U.K., to be better, to watch other speakers and say, wow, what did she just
now,
do? That
now,
was good.
One of the best speakers in the industry is going to four conferences in a year, yep, along with all the other conferences that you speak at,
right,
to get better.
Yep.
Oh, my God.
Well, that shows you the importance of, if you want to be a better version of yourself, you got to put in the work.
Right. Yeah. Right. What are you doing to improve yourself? And like with me with the language.
Uh-huh.
My favorite day is when I'm doing language, is when that little green owl in Duolingo is just kicking my butt. Now, why would that be my favorite day? Because if I'm getting perfect lesson, perfect lesson, perfect lesson, it means I already knew it.
Okay.
If it's kicking my butt, it means I don't know it. And now when I get it right, now I know it. And now I've just improved. So if you take the easy route, right, you take the easy route every time, you're not growing.
No.
So that's like me with the languages. I mean, I started 2013, so I was already a grown man of a certain age.
And we won't say.
No. But this gives it away. Can I hold that mic right in front
of
me?
Yeah, right there, right
but,
there.
But I did it because I was sitting in Mexico.
Uh-huh.
And I was by myself the last night of this event, and everybody's speaking English. And I just had this epiphany. Yeah, we are arrogant Americans expecting everybody to speak English to us no matter where in the world we go.
Wow.
So I said, you know what? Wouldn't it be respectful if I could come back next year and speak a little bit of Spanish?
Muy poquito, yes.
Muy poquito, muy poquito. Es respecto de la gente. So I said, okay. So I started learning. And then 2016, I don't know why, but I committed to give a presentation in Spanish.
Oh, man. Mm.
And I ended up giving presentations in Spanish in Panama, Mexico, and Uruguay. And then 2018 in Cartagena, Colombia, and 2019 in Guatemala. But I never intended to present. I just wanted to be able to say, hey, Jeff, how you doing? How's
your
family?
Doing?
You know, whatever. And then with French, it was getting off a plane, and which I never got to France, but COVID, you know. But
you still haven't made it to
France? Still have not made it to France.
Oh, wow.
And then a woman contacted me about maybe doing a conference in Italy, which she now pushed to next year. So I added Italian to Duolingo. Mm-hmm. So now I do French in the morning, and if I have time, I do Italian at night.
Oh, wow.
But, again, it's what are you capable of? I started Taekwondo at 39. My kids were doing it. Looked like fun. It's like, yeah, they let you hit stuff and kick stuff and break stuff, right? In the real world, they don't like that. You know, they don't really like that. So
you go to jail for that,
right? So I just started doing it just to get into shape. And 39, and then 42, I got a black belt. And 44, I got a second degree black belt. And 46, I hurt my back. I would have had a third degree black belt. And I did stuff I never could imagine doing because I was in the best shape of my life at 44 or 46.
Yeah,
I couldn't do that stuff at 24.
Yeah.
So my attitude went from, why should I try that, to, is there any reason not to? And there are some things you don't want to do, right?
Yeah, there's some stuff you don't want to do.
But for the most part, why not? Like, why not jump out of a plane at 50 years old, for my birthday? Yeah. Why? 8 months.
That one I can say why.
Okay.
A perfectly good airplane.
8 months after open heart surgery.
Oh, my gosh. Wow.
Why not?
Why not? You're right. By then, you're on your second chance.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
All right, Miguel. Don't lose him. Come on.
I'm good. He's just describing to me. So many of us live our lives based on fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Fear is driving the car.
Yeah.
And you wonder why you don't succeed.
What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, when I went skydiving, we went to the gift shop after and bought T-shirts. That's what they say. Skydiving, what's the worst that could happen?
Don't buy that before.
Right. So I'll give you an example. My son was in a job. Again, good paying job, loved the job, but he kind of hit the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So he was thinking about leaving so he could move up that rung in another company. And he's like, should I do it or not? I said, listen, you have money in the bank. You have that resume that says, I now had this next level. If that company goes out of business, you will find another job.
Yes.
You believe that? He said, yes. I said, you're going to be able to pay your rent. He said, yes. I said, then what's the worst that could happen? So he took that job, and he didn't like it. And within a few months, he left and landed this job, which is so much better, and he's moved up another rung, right? So at 36 years old, he's the CFO of a company that powers the back end of crypto.
Oh, boy.
Right?
That sounds fun.
He landed his dream job.
Okay.
Right? Because he left the first one, what's the worst that could happen? It's not so bad. It's that you didn't like it and you left and landed better.
Okay.
Now, you don't always land better.
No.
Because the first one didn't. I'm listening to an audio book now about decision making, and she's talking about stuff like that. The decision to leave was the first decision.
Yeah.
The decision to take that particular job was the second. The decision to leave was still the right decision, even though it didn't work out. The decision to leave that job was one. The decision to take this one, which might not have worked out, but it did, was another one. So we have to break it down and say, okay, so what's the worst that could happen? And you can have a roof over your head and food on the table, and you have your health. If you have that, okay, so we'll figure something out.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah.
So, but we look at it, and you said the fear, because it's actually good to look at what the worst can happen is, because usually it's just not that bad, right?
Airplane, ground.
Well,
yeah, that's
again, if heights are not your thing, I get it. There's certain things. I don't go scuba diving. I just have this thing about being underwater and, you know. But I had a ex-Russian military guy strapped to my back coming out of that plane, and he had a vested interest in getting us down safely.
Both of y'all.
Yes.
So anything else you done after 50 that was crazy to just say, what the heck?
Let's see. Well, again, learning two or three new languages, that's one over there. You know what? Just looking at the opportunity and saying to myself, well, is there any reason not to do this? Right? In June, I'm going with a few DJs that are bourbon buddies. We're all bourbon guys. And we're going to take the executive bourbon steward course. We're going to become executive bourbon stewards. And my wife said, go, have fun.
Have fun.
Right? Yeah. And that's part of our relationship. Our third date was my 17th birthday. I've been with this woman a long time.
Long time.
And she's a homebody, and I'm a traveler.
Yeah.
So she comes sometimes. She picks the good ones. She'll be in Ireland and London this year.
I'm sure.
Might be going to Hawaii in July. She said, I'm coming. You know?
Yeah.
But I went to Australia twice in 2019. She wouldn't go because she won't get on the plane for 15 hours.
I don't blame her in some aspects.
Right. But again, I know what she likes. She knows what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we look at opportunities and go, all right, any reason not to try this? Any reason not to do this? Now, it helps when the cars are paid off and the kids are out of the house and, you know, that helps.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you can have kids or money. You can't have both, right? It's
You're right.
It's true. And then if you get a grandchild, like I have one grandson. And I've always said.
It starts over again.
Well, no, it's your reward for not killing your children. True? Right?
True.
Right.
True. And, yeah, and if you really, one of them.
And if you really get lucky. Your child gets one just like themselves.
Oh, that's
and yeah. We're dealing with that right now.
Yeah. And that's your payback.
My wife loves it.
Oh yeah.
Oh, oh
yeah.
Boy.
My
Our
grandson
Brooklyn is like that.
Is just like his father in all the good ways and all the other ways.
Oh.
And my son is tired of us saying, you know, that's just like you. So now we just look at him and he goes, I know. I know.
Oh wow.
I know. But again, you know, you cross over a certain line in age. And you say, what do I want to do for the rest of my life? What do I want to be? So I go to these speaker conferences to give back as much as to get. I used to go with an agenda. I need this for my business, right? People are here. I need to learn this. I need to get this or whatever. I go without an agenda, and I come back with stuff. Because I'm open to anything as opposed to focusing so tight that I can't see the other stuff.
Okay.
That's awesome. So... You've kind of touched on this, but what is it that really just keeps you doing this? You know, and evidently from, you know, what you told us about, you know, the job that you walked away from that you hated. So evidently you love this one.
Oh, yeah. This is the career that found me. So what keeps me going? I'll tell you exactly that.
Okay.
Yesterday I did a workshop in the morning, and then I did a presentation. And yesterday... I got three people messaging or texting me that they made a sale from something I said yesterday. So they didn't even get past the day they were in, and they already made a sale from something I said. That's what's keeping me going, because if it doesn't bring me joy, I don't do it. If it doesn't bring value to others, I won't do it.
Okay.
I love what I do, right? I mean, I think you can tell if you see me on stage
yes.
or whatever, yeah,
oh
what
yeah,
I do.
Definitely.
Yes.
But when people come to me and say thank you, they want to share with me. I'm sure there's other people who did stuff, they just didn't share it. Share with me and say, look at this. Here's this email string. I made that sale because I asked the question the way you taught me.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me going. And I was talking to Drax before from ADJA, and I said,
uh-huh. "Oh yeah,
he was just in that seat."
That's it. I said, "I don't do this for the money. I'm going to cash the check,
okay?
But I don't do it
for the money.
Right? Yeah. Money is part of it. There's a transaction involved, but it's not transactional.
Okay.
If I show up and there's two people in the room, they're going to get everything.
The same thing that
and
you
And if
want
there's to- yesterday 1,400 or whatever, they're going to get it. So yeah. I don't do it for the money." The money's going to be part of it, but I do it for the value I'm bringing to others. When the 20-somethings stop telling me that I'm giving them good, useful stuff, that's when I know the clock's ticking. But the 20-somethings, I'm blowing their minds.
Yes.
Because they don't have the experience that we have. They don't have the frost. You know,
frost.
That's it. They don't have the frost that is those hard knocks that we've done. And when we hit those challenges, we came back. Right? What did Ali say? It's not how many times you get knocked down. It's how many times you get back up.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So that's what keeps me going is that feedback from people that say, love your book. And people stopping me in the hallway. I can't get 10 feet without getting stopped. I love your podcast. I love your books. I love this. You've helped me, whatever.
Yeah.
That's what keeps me going.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Yeah. I'm really a fan of your work. When we were in Chicago, you said something that made me change something that I had been doing for years.
Okay. What was that?
And you were talking about the price points.
Mm-hmm.
Three
and
options.
I was, yes, the three options. And I was faithful and no, I'm not putting no prices out of there. That's going to, you know, I can't control the narrative. And I listened to you. I'm like, I said, you know what? That makes a lot of sense. I'm going to do that.
Why not?
Why not? And I did it.
Why not?
And?
This is a funny thing. All of that time with doing other things, over the last 3 months, I finally got around to do it exactly the way that I wanted to do it.
Okay.
And I would say about another month or two, I'll see what it does.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like it's not going to do what it needs to do.
Well, but and that's part of it.
Yes.
If you believe it, you say it with conviction.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You know,
yes.
If you say it wishy-washy, that's what you're going to get, but you say it with conviction.
Yeah.
And you know what? It doesn't have to be perfect.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Because we can always make it better, because we know we can always make it better.
Mm.
That's the key.
Yes. Mm.
Just always, I mean,
or at least try to make it better.
Well, you know what? Trying to make it better is already moving forward, because if it doesn't work, you learn something, then you work from there.
Yeah.
It's the people that say, that won't work. They're right. Right?
Wow. If you don't try, what you say? If you don't ask for the sale, you're already getting, telling you no.
All right. If you don't ask, the answer's always no.
Wow.
Now, I have one more question, and I know our producer over there may, I'm getting nice.
Yeah.
What is it about not selling?
What is it about not selling?
Yeah. Well,
helping people buy.
Yes.
Well, unless you're doing cold calling, which is you're trying to find someone who has a need for what you do.
Mm-hmm.
That's different. But for most people in our industry, they're reacting to an inquiry that comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, they're already a buyer. Therefore, they're already looking for results. Are they your results? That's what you're going to talk about, not your services, because every DJ does the same thing, but the results are different. So you don't have to sell someone who is already a buyer. You have to help them buy the results that they want. And it's just a mental shift. Right? I've done cold calling, 10 years knocking on doors like yours. That's different. I sold cars, but people walked in the dealership. I had to help them buy. This is what I learned.
Help people
don't sell
buy.
Don't sell them a car.
Help
they
them.
Came in. Right? Yeah. They didn't need a bagel. Right? They came in, so help them buy a car. And if a guy sat down in a red convertible, but he needed a minivan because baby number 4 is on the way,
oh boy,
give him a minute.
Yeah.
Give him a minute. Let him sit in that car
and
then say, what'd you come in for today? Instead of saying, let me sell you that car.
Mm-hmm.
And then make him feel better about that other purchase by selling him a sport model with, you know, fancy wheels and fog lights and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what it was, is do you help people buy because they came to you? If you've ever done cold calling, you know what a slog that is.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I have no.
That is a hard job.
I don't have a lot of pity for people that sit back and wait for people to reach out and say, hey, I need what you do. Right? Because if you've ever done the other, it's so much harder.
It's a hard thing to do.
Right. So just don't make it any harder on yourself and just listen and ask better questions and find out the results that they want, propose better results for them that they couldn't even imagine, and then ask for the sale.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Or as my book says, shut up and sell more.
Yeah. So tell everybody how they can find you, podcasts, everything, your books.
So my website is allenberg.com, A-L-A-N-B-E-R-G. The podcast is Wedding Business Solutions. You can find it on my podcast.allenberg.com. You can find it on Apple, Spotify, and all the places, YouTube and all
that.
Or
you can get on the list and get them like I do.
You can get on my list if you go to connectwithallenberg.com. Mm. You can get onto my list over there, and you'll find out. My episodes, by the way, are 5 or 10 minutes.
Yes.
Right? And then I get a guest that's 30 minutes. So that's what it is. I want you to be able to hear the whole thing on the way to the grocery store, not have to, you know, tune back in 5 more times till you finish it.
All right. Yep.
I like that. I like that.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, we're very pleased that you were, you know, able to finally sit down.
Yes.
This
with
is
us.
Fun.
You know, it's been about 3,000 or 4,000 miles of chasing.
3 or 4 conferences. Yeah. Yeah.
And boy, are my arms tired. Yeah.
No, should be your legs from running. We finally caught him.
That's right.
Man, it is an honor and a pleasure. I mean, I've enjoyed you from the first time I heard you at Mobile Beat, and I was just like, man, that guy, you convict us. And if you don't get convicted, it's like going to church when you hear you talk. You're telling us the truth, and if you don't take it and do something with it, it's on you.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
It's definitely on you.
Yeah. So.
Well, thank you for having me on.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for listening.